Welcome to the Mind Gal Podcast, the show where we break down anxiety one show at a time and give strategies to release your negative thought patterns so that you can live your most fulfilled life. Get ready to challenge your narratives and gain the tools you need to overcome obstacles with your host, me, Monica Pitek-Fugetti, a nationally certified licensed mental health counselor with over 15 years of experience helping people achieve their goals. Hey guys, welcome to the Mind Gal Podcast. This is Monica, your host. Hope everyone had a really great week. I had a pretty good week for those of you who are following my eye saga. It is healing, but I still have no vision out of my right eye, so that is a little bit of a bummer. Kind of looks still like somebody punched me in the eye, and I have pink eye simultaneously, so I am definitely a sight to see right now. At this point, I think that my only hope for vision out of my right eye is going to be cataract surgery, which will be my third surgery on my eye. But people tell me that this one's not a big deal, and afterward, they see so much better, so I'm really kind of hoping for that. So hopefully everyone who is listening to this right now is in good health and you are having a great week, because by the time you listen to this, it will be Thursday. So this week, what I want to do is talk a little bit about apologies. I know that when we struggle with anxiety and we struggle with self-esteem issues, we tend to apologize a lot, right? The other day I was in the grocery store, and this happens all the time. The other day I was in the grocery store and some lady ran into me and I apologized to her. And then she just smiled and kept on going as if she deserved the apology, which is fine. But afterward, I thought, why on earth did I apologize for something that clearly was not my fault? Can you guys relate to that? This happens to me more often than not. I would probably say that I'm apologizing for things that I shouldn't be apologizing for multiple times a day. I don't even know if I could count how many times I do it. It's like the period on the end of my sentence. Instead of just ending, I say, I'm sorry. So that got me thinking, we really need to change that. I need to change that. And you might be with me on that too. I don't know what it is that we feel like we need to apologize just for being. Why are we apologizing for existing? True, there are reasons sometimes that warrant an apology, but not when somebody else is at fault. And then I'm always so shocked that that person that's at fault doesn't then say, oh no, it was me, I'm sorry. Because that's what I would do. So I'm always kind of in awe by that. Anyway, so I want to talk a little bit about apologies and what we can say instead of I'm sorry. I first want to go back a little bit to put this in context, because I think that we are programmed to apologize. We remember as little kids, and we do this now to kids, if we're a parent or a teacher or we're around children, if they do something, we say you're sorry. So we program people to say that they're sorry, even when they may not be. I used to think that that is the way to handle things, right? But now I'm realizing that I don't really want to force anybody to say that they're sorry, because it's not genuine, it's not authentic. I think that we should do instead is implement the practice of teaching empathy. Because anybody can just spit out, oh, I'm sorry. And it really falls on deaf ears to me, and I'm sure that it does to you, because you know when somebody's really not sorry. I always say, how do I know you're sorry? I know you're sorry because you stopped doing the action. I don't necessarily think that's entirely true. I think that sometimes people have impulse issues and they really genuinely are sorry, and it's hard for them to stop doing that action. But for the most part, who do the same action over and over and over again that they apologize for are not really sorry at all. So my thought is we should start teaching children empathy. I don't think anyone is going to disagree with that, but okay, how do you teach empathy? Instead of demanding an apology, encourage understanding. What do I mean by that? So let's take my child for example. Say that he hit somebody on the playground. First response as a parent is to say you're sorry to whoever it is that you hit, but maybe he's not sorry. So he'll do it and he'll comply, but more likely to do it again because he's not sorry and he's not understanding why he's being forced to apologize. Also, I think that as parents, when we start demanding that our children apologize all the time just because, I think it says more about our insecurities than it does anything else. Because let's be honest, we don't want to be judged by the other parents, and we don't want to be that parent that doesn't force an apology because that, quote unquote, is the right thing to do. I don't think that it's productive, and I don't think that it is educational either. So I propose that instead of forcing apologies out of children, because that's where you get this message in childhood, is you say, hey, Jacob, how do you think it felt for you to punch Johnny, we'll say, and help him to understand, first of all, what it feels like physically to be punched, and then talking about, how do you think Johnny felt about that? You guys were just playing and all of a sudden you punched him. Do you think that made him feel good? I always say to my son when he's trying to make decisions, I say, before you decide to act, ask yourself, is what you're about to do going to make the situation better, or is it going to make the situation worse? If it's going to make the situation worse, then maybe don't do it, right? Approaching situations in that way make Jacob, and if you approach situations in that way, if I approach situations in that way, it makes our mind start to think more critically. Instead of just having a knee-jerk reaction, we have to stop and we have to take a step back. Okay, so that's kind of a little bit of a tangent. That's not really what I want to focus on, is apology when we really should be sorry. I just thought it was really interesting because I think that apologies historically come from the messages that we receive in childhood. Just like everything about us really comes from the messages that we receive in childhood. And I'll talk about the history of those messages and how they impact us in the future in coming episodes. What I really want to focus on today is when we apologize just as a sentence filler. I don't know if it's because we're uncomfortable in the silence. I don't know if we don't want to have a stare down to see who's going to apologize first. For me, I apologize because I've always been taught to apologize. Sorry for everything. I walk into a room late, I say, I'm sorry. That's okay. That's reasonable because I actually did walk into a room late. But here's the thing. I want to talk about some things that we can say instead of I'm sorry. The reason I think that this is important, because saying I'm sorry puts you at the victim. Whereas if you change your messaging a little bit to other people and your wording is different, it recognizes that maybe you were wrong, but also it empowers you. So let's talk a little bit about what we can do instead of saying, I'm sorry. By the time that you're done listening to this episode, you will have 4 things that you can say instead of, I'm sorry. First, let's take a very short break. So I know that it is really hard to manage anxiety sometimes. So I created a 30-day anxiety challenge that you can download for free. All you have to do is go to my webpage, www.mindgal.com. Right there on the home page, if you scroll all the way to the bottom, you will see your opt-in to get that 30-day anxiety challenge freebie. And it is sure to help you to be able to organize your thoughts and your patterns of behavior so that you can start on your road to really taking control of your anxiety. Also, if you head on over to my resource page, from the home page, you can just click on top where it says resources and reviews, or you can just type in www.mindgal.com/resources/. And on that page are a bunch of different resources that are great for managing anxiety. There's things on there for children as well as adults. A lot of all natural supplements, because I know that that's really important. And one thing on there is a weighted blanket, and it is actually cheaper than a weighted blanket that you might be able to get somewhere else. So if you go ahead over to there and you click on those resources, you might be able to find something that is gonna help you out. All right, so let's get back to the show. Okay, so we're back, and we're going to go through 4 things that you can say instead of I'm sorry. and we're going to talk about different kinds of situations. The first situation we are going to talk about is when you are apologizing for somebody else's misfortune. Let's take, for example, that your friend was running really late for something. They got stuck in traffic, they got caught up at a train, and by the time they got to you, they were really frazzled and there was a lot of anxiety going on. So our first response is often, "Oh, I'm so sorry that you had to deal with that." We often use sorry as a way to bridge a gap and as a way to make other people think that we are sympathetic of their circumstance, which we are. But the thing is that when we say, "Oh, I'm sorry that you got caught in traffic," we're not recognizing their feelings at all. So do they really feel that you're sorry? I don't know. But a different way to say it is, "That must be so frustrating that you got stuck in traffic." Because when you put a label of an emotion on it, it allows them to either recognize that emotion or to say, "No, I wasn't really frustrated. I was just worried because I was late and I didn't want to hold you up." And you can kind of get to the bottom of what they were feeling, which I think is important because people at the end of the day just really want to be heard, right? So that's the first thing, is to stop apologizing for somebody else's misfortune. You can still empathize and you can still sympathize, but try to put an emotion on it instead. That helps to build a relationship up instead of shutting a conversation down. Another way that we misuse "I'm sorry" is when we use it as a leading word in a sentence. So say that you are out with friends or you're at a meeting. Well, let's take the example that you're at a friend's house. You go to your friend's house and you were supposed to bring a gift with you, but you left your gift at home. Instead of just telling them that you're going to run home and get it, you first start with saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot the gift. Let me run home and get it." All right, that's nice. You probably are sorry that you forgot the gift. But again, that word "sorry," there's no empowerment to that word. So instead of using "sorry," just say, "I forgot the gift. I'm going to run back and get it. I'll be back in just a couple minutes." A lot of the times we use that word "sorry" as a sentence filler. So instead of pausing, we say "sorry" because we're not comfortable in our own silence. So I think that if you just pause, you might find that you will use that word less. Over the last couple of years, so one of my biggest pet peeves is when people say all the time. Now I say so my pet peeve is not when people just say it, but when they incessantly say it. And I can't stand it when people are public speaking and they are constantly saying Well, I realize that I say a lot as a filler from one sentence to another. And basically, I think the reason that people do it, because the reason that I do it is because we want to let the person know, "Wait, I'm not done talking. I don't want you to talk yet. So I'm going to go then I'm going to continue with my sentence." But I just don't think that sounds right. So what I started doing is I started practicing just pausing and being silent. So I will say something, and if I don't have my train of thought right away, I pause and I just sit there in the silence. And at first it was really, really uncomfortable and it was awkward, but now I just kind of do it and I don't even think about it anymore. And so I still say but it's definitely cut down the use of that word quite a bit. So that's the second one. The second one is, don't say you're sorry before you're about to take action on something. Instead, pause. The third one is interrupting. I can't really stand interrupting, again, incessantly. Everyone interrupts sometimes. But in our culture, in the American culture, it seems that people are speaking a mile a minute, and I'm one of them. I'm a very fast talker, and people don't pause. So I read somewhere a while ago that you're supposed to wait 7 seconds from the time somebody is done speaking until you start speaking. 7 seconds, that's a lot, guys. I'm going to do it right now just so that you can understand what 7 seconds feels like. Ready? All right, go. That was a lot. That's a lot of dead air. Can you imagine talking to somebody and actually waiting 7 seconds? People would start looking at you funny, I think. But that is what I read. This was a while ago. All that notwithstanding, even if we don't wait 7 seconds, I feel like we don't even wait a half a second before we start talking. And in a lot of cases, we start talking before the other person's even done. How we interrupt is to say, "Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt, but," and I feel like that's just kind of rude. You're not really sorry. You want to say what you need to say. There are ways that you can interrupt in a polite way. One way that I like is to simply kind of raise your hand a little bit and say, "Hey, may I ask a question?" Because then it allows you to ask a question, and then the person who is speaking, it gives them the power to say, "Wait, I'm not done talking yet." Or, "Sure, go ahead and ask a question," instead of just barging in and interrupting. The fourth one is to keep the peace. I think that a lot of women are guilty of this. We say, "I'm sorry," because we don't want to cause conflict. We don't want to be seen as somebody who's disrupting the flow of anything. So we just want to keep the peace. So we say something like, "Oh, I'm sorry, but I don't understand the strategy." Why are you apologizing for something that you don't understand? Maybe it was the person that explained it that didn't explain it okay. So maybe instead of saying you're sorry, I think it's always good to first recognize the efforts of other people. So maybe say something like, "Looks like you worked really hard on this, and I'm just not understanding how you got from point A to point B. Can you help me understand?" Do you notice the difference in the two ways of saying that statement? One of them is empowering, and one of them, and I am envisioning crawling under your shell or something. It's just really helpless. So we really need to be careful about our use of the word "I'm sorry." I'm going to throw in a fifth one just for good measure, and that is the example that I used at the beginning of the episode where I turned the corner in a grocery store and somebody ran into me and I apologized. So when that kind of thing happens to you, and I'm going to try when those kinds of things happen to me, instead of saying, "Oops, I'm sorry," acknowledge that you didn't see them and then go on about your day. There will be times when an apology is necessary and it's something that you feel is the right thing to do. But the examples that I just gave are times when we use the words "I'm sorry" to diffuse a situation, to not rock the boat, as a filler. And all it does is it doesn't empower us at all. In fact, it does just the opposite of that. We can still be empathetic and we can still be understanding of situations and events and our own behaviors and reactions without saying "I'm sorry." And I think that when we change the messaging, it also drives an environment where people can relate to each other much more than just saying "I'm sorry," because I feel like that kind of just shuts down a conversation, really. Okay, so let's review. We talked about 4 things that you can say in 4 different situations that happen that cause you to say "I'm sorry," and ways that you can say what you want to say without using that word. The first one was when you use the word "I'm sorry" for something somebody else did, and we use the example of somebody was running late. The second one was saying you're sorry before you're about to take action. The third one was saying you're sorry as a way to interrupt. And then the fourth one was saying you're sorry because you're trying to keep the peace. And then the bonus 5th one was saying you're sorry when somebody else was clearly in the wrong. The point of this episode is so that we can recognize when we are putting ourselves in a position of victimhood just by the language that we use. Language is really a powerful thing, and we need to learn to change our messaging. And if we change our messaging, then we will also change the way that we think, and we will change the way that we behave. That messaging piece is super important to managing and overcoming anxiety. You deserve to live a life that is fulfilled. You deserve to live a life of purpose, and I want to help get you there. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a great week. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Mind Gal podcast. Go over to mindgal.com now to sign up for your free 30-day anxiety slaying challenge and have access to proven resources to help you manage your anxiety. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so that you don't miss any future episodes. And please take a moment to give us a 5-star rating and write a review in the App Store. Thanks for listening to the Mind Gal Podcast. Tune in each Thursday for a new episode. Have a great week.